Almost 20 minutes. Took us a while to find him, but we turned on the radar and located Dr. Don down in Garden Valley, Texas. He was roaming around looking for a Wi-Fi connection. And so apparently the jig is up with respect to the old coffee house, huh, Don?
Well, until I get in touch with her and see if I can get the new internet password.
And then she'll say, what's it worth to you, Don?
Yeah, exactly. No, she'll probably say, oh, yeah, sure. If you want to sit outside, that's fine.
Okay. Well, maybe she'll invite you in, too. You know, you could be you could do a remote from an interior design studio. It'd be a little different.
Well, it would actually be the same coffee shop, so.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Dr. Don Clark, a biochemist and a member of the board of directors at Creation Moments, and their website, creationmoments.com. It's a ministry that has to do with convincing us all that that Genesis is literally true. We're a young earth, and we delight in talking to Dr. Don every Monday about those very things. But today, Don, we're going into outer space just a little bit. Although we've done that, we've been there before, haven't we? We've talked.
Oh yeah, we've talked about the cosmos before.
Yeah, and things light years away, and how apparently misleading things like, you know, words like light years can be in terms of calculating a distance. Well, there's word that the year 2013 is going to be the year of the comet, and we could see the comet of the century. It's called it's already got a name, Ison, ISON, and I guess it's due to be visible about December. What do you know about Ison, Don?
Well, it's actually a comet that apparently has not visited Earth before. It's a chunk of, like most comets, it's a chunk of rock and ice, and it's about several tens of miles large, and it's basically headed our way, being pulled towards the sun by the sun's gravity. And they think, well, they hypothesize that this is yet another comet that has come from the Oort cloud, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it's basically kind of a holding place for a bunch of these asteroids, if you will, that periodically break free from the Oort cloud, and some of them had our way.
Kind of a warehouse, of ice and rocks, eh, out there?
Yes, apparently. That's what they think. Now, so this comet is headed our way, and it's supposed to actually, it's not going to come anywhere near us as far as, you know, is it going to hit the Earth or anything like that?
No danger to us, okay.
No, but it looks like it'll be close enough to give us quite a show when it actually starts having its you know, kind of aurora tail that comets have when they when the sun's solar rays start.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember Haley Bopp a few years back? That comet that was visible in the northern sky.
Yes,
I remember when my son was just a youngster. Now he's grown and gone, but he and I would stand out in the backyard and stare at that comet, and that was a great father-son experience. Comets and phenomena in the heavens are just wondrous things, and I'm kind of glad this is happening. I could get excited about seeing another comet, but there's apparently another comet that's going to be here too, and this article has very few details about when we're going to see that one. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I'm not, actually.
Yeah, it talks about another one that was spotted last March, April, that's going to be coming in earlier this year than Ison. But I'm looking for maybe a double comet here. But Ison is going to be reportedly as bright or brighter than a full moon and visible in the sky with its tail. This should be quite an attraction. I don't know if I can wait till December to see. I guess I'll just have to.
Yeah, you'll start, you could probably start seeing it with a telescope or with binoculars, I think they said, in September or something like that. And then as it gets closer and closer, of course, it'll get bigger and bigger, and we should have quite a show.
How do they know it's not going to bump into us? I mean, that must be quite a formulation. That must be a huge, long mathematical formula to compute where we will be at the same time when that comet is at its closest, and how sure can they be?
Well, excuse me, they have to have pretty accurate calculations. Apparently, the folks that have discovered this went back in some photo archives of that region of space, and have now tracked it, you know, over a period of time. Now, how you see, a piece of rock and ice that is not glowing itself, obviously, is using reflective light for us to even be able to see it, and then it's only, several, maybe 20 miles across or something. You've got to have, obviously, a very, very powerful telescope in order to be able to see it. But they have to have, a period of observation where they can calculate, get a good calculation on the orbit, on the route, basically, of the comet, and then project where it's going to go. And this one, if their calculations are correct, is projected not to head into the sun, but it's like I said, it's being pulled by the sun's gravity.
So they can pretty well guess what direction it's to go, but still seems to be a huge mathematical challenge when you consider that it'll be passing through the solar system apparently and running into gravity pulls from all the different planets. And it just the calculation of that just astounds me. But you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if it's a wild guess, because it would be most likely going to miss us anyway. So they could tell me anything and I'd believe them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think with understanding the orbits of all the planets and in where we're going to be in relationship to this comet, I think now it's kind of a routine calculation to do these things.
They just put it in the computer, and it says, no problems. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this Oort cloud, O-O-R-T, Oort cloud.
Well, this is quite interesting, because the Oort cloud is only hypothesized. That is, they think it exists. And why do they think they exist? Well, because we get these comets from time to time coming, seemingly coming out of nowhere. It's a cloud that cannot be seen, has not been observed at all, but yet they say, well, it's about a light year out there, and it's surrounding our solar system. It's like kind of at the boundaries of our solar system, and it's providing, it has ice in it, and they actually put forth quite a story about the Oort cloud, knowing nothing about it. Or even if it exists. So it's in man's mind right at the moment. And it's, like I said, there's no data to support.
Well, isn't a natural tendency for us, though, to observe natural phenomena and then fill in the blanks with our imagination until science can get around to determining the specifics? I mean, that's the way we work.
Yeah, well, we're very creative. God created us to be very creative people, and we exercise that creativity, all the time. Now, in the arts, of course, we're exercising the creativity to create beautiful paintings or dance or plays or whatever, movies. But in the sciences, we get to tell stories. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of the biggest stories is the story of evolution. But we like to take a little bit of data and say, oh, well, because we have this data, we therefore, this must have happened. And you start, you start filling in the blanks, and pretty soon you've got a pretty, tall tale, to tell.
Well, that nobody takes you seriously if you just say, I don't know. Or when was the last time you heard a scientist say, I haven't a clue?
Oh, yeah. It's been at least a popular science scientist. It's been a very long time. Mm-hmm. And the basic fact is, if you're going to be honest as a scientist, you're going to be saying, I don't know what's going on. I can guess. I can make guesses. And then I can test my guesses if it's an experiment that you can test your guesses. But here, the problem here is that, again, they are taking an evolutionary model for the universe, and using Big Bang as you know, a possible explanation. We've talked about this in previous programs as not really being a viable explanation for a description of our universe, but they'll use that and they say, well, you know, during the Big Bang, in the result of the Big Bang, this Oort cloud had to form, and this is the seed of all the planets that we see today. Well, one explanation was that the sun, spun off some of the inner planets, and the outer planets came from someplace else, supposedly from the Oort cloud. So we're making this stuff up to fit what we see, and we have very, very, very limited data, because if you, you know, think the Big Bang was, 13.6 billion years ago, we're here and the Earth about 450 million years ago, it's like, gee, that's a drop in the bucket. A little bit of data, and we've only been observing this for how many years, since telescopes?
Well, then of course, in terms of events on Earth, scientists are learning, that things don't necessarily happen at a geologic pace. They can happen very quickly. We talked about Mount St. Helens and its recovery from the eruption in the mid-80s, how much faster that's happened, or how much quicker the Grand Canyon could be carved than what scientists originally had thought. Why not outer space events as well? We've talked about that in terms of the distance of a light year. You informed us that, well, the speed of light has changed. It's not constant. And yet that's an assumption that most of science still seems to operate on, that the speed of light is a constant. And as casual receivers of this information, if they start from a premise that, well, we'll start with the evolution of the world, we tend not to question that. Well, if he's a scientist, it must be so. We don't even think about that. We just think about what comes afterwards. We need to be a little more critical in our thinking, I think, and not just take these assumptions along with the provider of the story. Wouldn't that be a help?
Oh, it would be a very much of a help. And, if you go back to classical education, and I'm talking, about the time when education was, what you were taught was you were taught how to think, instead of just regurgitating, data and facts. Mm-hmm. You were actually taught to analyze and to think. If we go back to that time, people would be questioning and saying, well, why do you know this? Or why do you think that this is correct? And I think we've lost a lot of that, and especially in our public education. We're not getting those skills for whatever reasons, and one can hypothesize why. We're not getting those skills because if we had those skills, we would start to question quite a lot of things that people in authority are telling us.
Well, I think we're timid thinkers. We tend not to question the media. We tend not to question science, whatever that is, this big block called science out there that keeps feeding us data. We just assume that because it's scientific, that it must be proven. And that's not necessarily the case. We can be a hornswoggled in a number of ways. David, are you there? Is this prompting any thoughts on your part?
Not really. Okay. I'm just paying attention.
David is suffering with a cold here. He's probably just suffering in silence. Yeah. Okay.
I guess I'm of the same mind that Don is, that there doesn't seem to be as much skepticism as there was at one time, and we're not as skeptical across the board. It seems like scientists are skeptical of many things that are, conservative and Christian, but not as skeptical about the things that they believe themselves.
Is it possible, and Don, I want to direct this question to you and David, is it possible, and I keep thinking back to a few years ago when my two boys were heavy into video games, and I was really concerned about the effect of that on them. And then the thought occurred to me that, well, these are the skills, this is the kind of knowledge they're going to need for their lifetime, because the world's a different place now. know, they don't need to know all the facts about the American Revolution and the Roman Empire and Greek history and so forth. Things that I learned when I was going through school. Is that fallacious? Or it might we be knowing what we need to know to get along in modern society, and we simply don't have the time or the room for all the rest of that stuff?
Oh, yeah, I think the obviously those things that you mentioned, learning history, you know, obviously if you forget history, you're destined to repeat it. And I think that's what's happening now is, you know, the educational system and folks are not taking the time to really get a broad based education, and we're focusing in on sometimes ridiculous facts when we should be learning things as to, okay, how did you even take our own government? How did our government form? Why did it form? What was the basis, you know, of it? Why is this a better form of government than, let's say, China, for example? Doing comparison.
Oh, I think we've lost you at least momentarily.
Sociology or whatever type of subject. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yep, we did lost you for a second there, but I think you're back now. I think without that anchor, understanding history and understanding where we've been and thereby learning where we are as a race, that we tend to go with instinctual things that can lead us wrong again. And so history, in the grand cycle, tends to repeat because that's how humans behave. And I think all this is in keeping with your theory of the devolution of man, Don.
Yes, well,
the system degrades.
It's unfortunate. But, yes, I think it's holding up.
I think it is. Theory is holding up
yet
nicely.
Again.
Yeah.
But, I think, even just this comment and having an article being written as, you know, it's kind of commonplace that, well, we've got a comet coming out of nowhere, and so it's got to be coming out of the Oort cloud. I mean, why not, from a biblical perspective, God says in Genesis, actually Genesis chapter 1, on the fourth day when he created the sun and the moon and he created the stars also, and supposedly all the other heavenly bodies, and what did he create them for? He created them for signs and for, you know, for seasons. Mm-hmm. And he created them for, to be kind of light post and say, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Well, there was a time in our history when the skies were our clock and calendar. And the agrarian cycles, you know, planting and harvesting, and people that were close to the earth would look at the sky and knew what was coming next in terms of seasons. And I think, at least in our culture, the Western culture, we're so far from that now. I don't think
we are. Yeah. And even the Christmas season that we just passed, and January the 6th, which just passed, which was Epiphany, mm-hmm. and the supposedly the date that the 12 days after Christmas, when the wise men from the east came. Well, you know, what were they looking for? They were looking for a sign in the sky, mm-hmm. As to the Messiah. I don't think that was the only sign. I think, you know, the Lord has designed this massive universe and all of these astronomical, events for a reason. And I think this might be a good segue of our topic next week.
Mm-hmm.
But even the comet, you know, I think as Christians, we should ask ourselves, is this one of the signs sent by God? And if so, what is it telling us? And, God, when the disciples in Matthew 28 asked Jesus, tell us when you're coming back. Give us a sign or give us, you know, give us some information as to when you're coming back. And he says, well, you know, it's not for me to know the day or the hour, or for any man for that matter. But here are some things that are going to be happening. You know, he talks about earthquakes, talks about various, you know,
wars and rumors of wars.
Wars, rumors of wars and all kinds of things. And, you know, part of that, there'll be signs in the heavens. There'll be unusual activity that you haven't seen before, or maybe rare events that you haven't seen before. But many, many, you know, many more of them. So it could be that this is the start of maybe a lot of comets or astronomical events that we're going to be seeing, and just the beginning of hey, you know, let's get prepared. Here's just another sign that the Lord is preparing to return.
Well, apparently it's going to be an awesome sight. The comet Ison, I-S-O-N, due to be visible in the sky probably starting next November, December. It will be around for several months if it all comes to pass. So we'll look forward to that experience. Don, I have a question for you. We had a listener who has asked if we could air a program by an old Earth protagonist. Do you know of such a program, a radio program?
That you can air well.
Yeah. I think they would like to hear a debate on the two sides, and I guess their point is we're talking about a young Earth, and we do that a lot and with conviction. But you know, there is a counter argument, and I guess they'd like to hear that, and I'm not sure where to go for that. You know, there are a couple of really wacko kind of old Earth websites, but I haven't seen anything that I consider credible and believable, and that I would put on the radio.
Yeah, well, you can. One of the old Earth Christians, at least, is a cosmologist. His name is Hugh Ross, and he's out in California. You can Google him and get to his website, and he has all kinds of information on the old. He goes with the traditional thinking that the universe is, you know, 13.6 billion years old, the story in Genesis is a story, and it refers to long ages as opposed to, it takes yom as being a long age as opposed to actual day,
yom being the Hebrew word used in Genesis for
yom.
For day. Internet Monk recently has had a series that dealt with not specifically old Earth, but dealt with the question of which side do you believe. So it's a hot topic, and we just delight in your presence here in representing the young Earth view, and you've been ultimately convincing. And what saddens me is that the good science that supports such a view is so well hidden. But Creation Moments is working hard to change that, aren't they?
Yes, we are. We have a 2-minute radio program that's on about 1,300 radio stations around
Ian
the United
Taylor's
States.
Creation Moment certainly airs on Broken Road as well.
And we have a lot of resource materials, a lot of books, a lot of videos on our website. People could go to our website and go to our resource center and find all kinds of resources on various topics, from Noah's Ark to a lot of these topics, not necessarily exactly the ones we've been talking about, but and a lot of topics related to to science in the Bible, and in particular Genesis chapter 1, the creation story, as well as the flood. So
Dr. Don blogs there now and then, and there are other bloggers as well. It's an interesting site. You can link there quickly, conveniently, from our website, brokenroadradio.com. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see a Creation Moments link there. Just click on that. It'll take you right there in a separate window and learn what they have to offer. It's some fascinating information, and it's scientifically supportable. And that's the message that we delight in getting out here. Dr. Don Clark from Garden Valley, Texas, makes wine and is off time and spends time with us every week. Every Monday morning here, he's here with us. And Don, we're so grateful. Thank you very much. And I hope you're feeling better. You were a little under the weather last week, weren't you?
Yes, I was, especially, middle by Wednesday, I was in bed for 3 days, basically, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I was all stuffy, had a headache, I was achy, I mean, pretty much achy all
now,
over.
Was it, do you suppose, flu? Because I know that's going around, and it's a different strain.
It was a type of flu. It started with a minor sore throat and some head congestion on Tuesday, and then that was full blown by Wednesday. I was not a happy camper there.
Sounds like you're over the hump. We got to get David over his cold. He's been fighting that for a week now. So,
I'm just curious if we might be the first couple of people who could trace our transcription of our disease to Skype.
I think we got a good case.
Internet viruses, maybe that's one of them, you know.
I think so. I think this is it. Yeah. One of the things that I found interesting back to what we were talking about, Don, is Jim and I are reading Harbingers, and I guess we're going to discuss it here pretty soon. That and it never occurred to me when I was reading about Ison, the comet, the reason that it's there. And, we've gotten away from the notion that there are reasons for these things to be where they are and to do what they're doing. And there doesn't seem to be a reason for Ison to just kind of appear out of nowhort. It's popped out of this Oort cloud and it's going to whip around or slingshot around the sun. But that it could be possibly a sign of something or an indication and we don't know. The things in the book in Harbinger that we've never examined, that we've never looked at, as I start to read the explanation of a particular sign or a particular harbinger of things to come and all the rest of that stuff, he says what the first thing is, and I said my inner editor says, sure, okay. Okay, go ahead and stretch this one. Let's see if you. And by the end of the description, I say, "Wow, wow, whoa, really?"
Well, yeah. We'll talk about the Harbinger with Dr. Don next week, and I think it goes back to if you dismiss the existence of God, then everything becomes random and chance, doesn't necessarily happen for a reason. If you put God in His place at the center of the universe, and understand how big He is, and how interwoven He is into our whole existence, to every detail at every level, then you can't assume anything happens by accident. And the trick is to connect the dots.
And I'm going to botch this, but there's an old Jewish, rabbi kind of saying, coincidence. There is no coincidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Harbinger will start you thinking that way, too. There is no such thing as coincidence. Nothing happens by accident. And, Don, we'll take it up with you a week from now. Get better. Get some rest. And thank you so much for this week. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Music from Christy Lanay on A Broken Road Radio Monday morning. Good morning to you.